بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We start with the chapter باب صلاة الخوف. Prayer of fear. Allah سبحانه وتعالى in سورة المائدة سورة النساء verse 102 revealed on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم the آيات of صلاة الخوف. Salat al-Khawf is a specific salat, exceptional salat from the main salat, the way you perform salat. The Sharia has revealed to the Prophet ﷺ the salat al-Khawf, meaning that salat you do pray if you're fearing that if you're going to leave everything and pray, the army would not attack you. If you're fearing the army can see you, then to line up and queue up for the salat, all the army, you get slaughtered while you're praying. At the same time, it comes to my mind that always continuously the Sharia has exceptions for the times of need. The Sharia does not stop at a rigid point. Meaning, imagine the army is in front of you and you have to pray. The Sharia told you, do not neglect the salat and do not neglect standing in the front line protecting the army. Or standing fighting. So, because of this, the Sharia came with a solution and exception. Because the two ibadat at once, we have to remember that you'll see that people leave the salat and come back to the salat. We say, because you are in two ibadat, you actually, the ibadah of reconnaissance, while you're doing the hirasa, the scouting, the reconnaissance, you can do the ibadah. Now you are combining two ibadat. And it's been narrated also that the Prophet ﷺ was praying يَرْقُبُ رَسُولَهُ. He was waiting for his messenger to come back. And Umar radiallahu anhu also, and other companions, they would be praying the salat and the ahad يَرْقُبُون. They're watching the armies, whether they come or not. Or their messengers are came or not. Yani they send a messenger and they wait for him. So this type of hirasa, combining this two, this is an ibadah inclusive of an ibadah. طيب. Here he said, يقول رحمه الله وتجوز صلاة الخوف على كل صفة سلاها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The prayer of fear is permissible in any form in which it was conducted by the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So how is that? Because it's been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam five or six different types of salat al khawf. You can revise that in some of the books of the ulama, like Ibn Rajab rahmatullah alayhi in his commentary on the Bukhari. Of course, he prayed it. The ulama, they say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 5-6 different types of Salat al-Khawf being narrated from the Prophet. Which one is correct? Of course, here some ulama would say according to the need. And you pray the format that you're praying according to the need. Of course, the warfare today is different than the warfare before. The warfare today, it's different than the warfare before. And on the battlefield, the method of pray has to be accustomed according to the fighting today. Back then, the fighting with army would line up, and an army would line up, and they meet, and they collide. And now, they are hiding behind
barricades
and matayaris, and so they're shooting from behind it, or in guerrilla warfare. Of course, in the guerrilla attack these days, the attack takes 20 minutes, half an hour. Which is 90% of the jihad, or 99% of the jihad practice today, is a guerrilla warfare. They attack and they withdraw and hide. Because neither is no army facing army. Or if it is army facing army, you find that not all the army fight at once. There's a group that fights, groups at the back. So it is according to the emir who divides the platoons, he is the one who directs him how to do the salat and when to do the salat, and whether you need to combine the salat or not to combine the salat, or the salat is a combined salat like Dhuhr and Asr, or whatever is the situation. So there is no, we can say, one way of doing everything, because it's according to the situation, according to the type of warfare. All of this has to play. Sometimes you do not need to pray Salat al-Khawf, you just combine the Salawat. If, for example, a journey that it is going to take 6-7 hours, for example, to go to the place of war and come back to the camp, then, for example, they could pray there Dhuhr and Asr, or on the way Dhuhr and Asr, or they pray Dhuhr and Asr before they leave, and they just go and come back. That is for the Hajjah, for the need. And we learned in Salat al-Marid that if there is a Hajjah, you can combine the Salawat according to the Hajjah, if there is a need. So that's why we now speak about Salat al-Khawf that is in the book. وَالْمُخْتَارُ مِنْهَا. And the chosen one, the preferred way, as he's going to explain from all these different descriptions, he said, الْوَارِدَ فِي السُنَّةِ. What is being narrated, يعني what is being narrated in the sunnah. أَنْ يَجْعَلَهُمُ الْإِمَامُ طَائِفَتَيْنِ طَائِفَةٌ تَحْرُسُ وَالْأُخْرَى تُصَلِّي مَعَهُ رَكْعَةً فَإِذَا قَامَ إِلَى الثَّانِيَةِ نَوَتْ مُفَارَقَتَهُ وَأَتَمَّتْ صَلَاتَهَا وَذَهَبَتْ تَحْرُسُ وجاءت الأخرى فصلت معه الركعة الثانية فإذا جلس إلى التشهد قامت فأتت بركعة أخرى وينتظرها حتى تتشهد ثم يسلم بها. طيب. And this is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. We read the one the Sheikh described it for us as it is being narrated in the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, the preferred way is from the Imam to divide them, meaning the army, into two groups. One group guards, while the other prays one rak'ah with him. So, the Imam is standing, one group, he split into two groups. One group guarding, the ones who are praying. And the Imam now leads them with one rak'ah. And they pray the rak'ah with him. He said, when he rises for the second, that group should intend to stop following his leadership and they complete their prayer, then go to God. So he'll stand. They'll intend to separate from the imamah and they complete the prayer. Right? And they go to God. Now, at this, what happens? Then the other group comes and pray the second rak'ah with him. You understand what has happened? So, one more time. The Imam, he split them into two groups. One group prays with him, and the second group guards. Now, he finishes the first rak'ah and he stands up. He starts reciting. This group intends to separate from the Imam, and they pray by themselves. They finish, the Imam is still waiting for the other group to come. The other group to come, and they pray with him the second rak'ah. But for them, it's the first rak'ah. For the second group is the first rak'ah. Now this group has finished and now it is guarding. When they start guarding, the second group that was waiting, it comes down and joins the imam, while the imam is still standing in the second rak'ah. Yeah, he said, then the other group comes and pray the second rak'ah with him. When he sits down for the tashahud, they rise to perform the other rak'ah. So he's praying two rak'ah, he sits for the tashahud. They rise to perform what? The other, the second rak'ah, while he waits for them. He doesn't finish the salat, he waits for them. He waits until they finish their tashahud, then makes taslim with them. So he waits for them until they finish their tashahud, meaning they do the second rak'ah, and he's sitting, waiting. They sit with him, and then they make the tashahud together and the taslim. And that is Salat al-Khawf. Here he said, this is Salat al-Khawf, this is how it is performed. Then he's going to take it to the second level. وَإِذَا اشْتَدَّ الْخَوْفُ صَلُّوا رِجَالًا وَرُكْبَانًا إِلَى الْقِبْلَةِ وَإِلَى غَيْرِهَا يُومِئُونَ بِالرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ. شوف subhanAllah. Here he said, if the fear escalates considerably, they pray walking or riding, facing the Qibla or not, they nod for bowing and the prostration. So they are on the horses, because it's been narrated a lot of the Salaf. And when they tell you, sometimes the battle starts from Fajr, doesn't finish up to Maghrib. Battle goes from Fajr, and some of the battles been narrated, it goes on for 2 days. Non-stop. So how would they pray? How would they make wudu? How would they... Imagine a man on a horse fighting or on his feet from Fajr to Maghrib. When you talk fighting, you have to know how these men are built. When you talk fighting from Fajr to Maghrib, if I put you in the ring, just playing normal karate or boxing with amateur, not professional. Of course, with professional, even if you are professional, how long the... 12 seconds is the...
That's 12 rounds.
No, no, how many? 1 minute is the round, boxing, professional boxing? 3 minutes. Right. So the round is 3 minutes, and after the round, what happens? He sits and can't move. They bring him all the cold water and everything. He's dying and suffering. Now, with amateur, how long would it take you? You see? You even if you're an amateur boxer. Now imagine you're carrying a sword and you're fighting. And sometimes in these battles, if you read about books of Furusiyya, that the ulama spoke about the Furusiyya knighthood, yani, Islamic knighthood, you find sometimes he's fighting, he doesn't fight the same person. He'll be fighting a person for about 20 minutes, that fighting pulls out straight away, another one comes. So you could be yourself fighting one person who got tired, and someone noticed he got tired, come and supported him, and he's gone, and you're still fighting, and another one comes, and then what? So you're either going, yani, eventually get so tired, and they're going to attack you and kill you once you put your sword down, and gone. So you have to imagine that when these battles are not easy. These battles are not easy to go all the way to the top. That person, how does he pray? That person, how does he pray? So here he said, وَإِنْ اِشْتَدَّ الْخَوْفْ صَلُّوا رِجَالًا وَرُكْبَابًا. رِجَالًا mean on their feet. They pray on their feet. You're fighting on your feet. طيب. Example. The Amir puts you on a role of an archer or sniper. Your eye cannot blink off the target. You're sitting there 10 hours, 11 hours, you probably have to urinate in your pants. In reality or not, if you hear about the Mujahideen in Shishan, they got stuck in trenches for 2 and 3 days snow, where it's so cold they could not take their gloves off. And once they took it off, worms start to come out. So there was worms actually eating from their flesh because they couldn't take it out. This is how hard it is. When you wear that big, thick woolen gloves, this wool actually comes from animal and it makes worms after a while if you don't take it and put it in the air and the sun, true or not, and start smelling. Actually, when they took it, actually the skin and everything peeled out because it's just stuck in their hands. Because they couldn't take it out, it's too cold. And for 3 days sitting in the trenches, which is snow, full snow, yeah, what happened to them? When they took it out, they saw worms coming out. You can imagine the smell and everything. Now this person, how does he pray? How can he, if he's sitting as a sniper, because if he turns his head and the enemy walks by, he could cause a disaster for the whole army. So when he's placed, he does everything. Now how does he pray? How does he pray someone who's sitting there for 10 hours? That's why I need the tayammum. That's why the wudu, and that's why the Sharia. That's why a lot of the times when we hear the exception, we say, at tayammum when you can't use water. Most of us, the tayammum way, other than the hospital. But you see all these allowances that the Sharia gave you. It is today you find that, why do I need all these allowances? You only know it when you are on the field of jihad. Because there, all these problems start to arise. You need the tayammum, you need to wipe it on the socks, you need 3 days wiping on your socks, the tayammum, the long walk, the socks start to get ripped, the blisters. How do you deal with all that? What are the Sharia has said? Pasta start coming out, a small wound, you stepped on something, caught in your foot, pasta's coming out. All of this, how do you deal with it? Is it najis? Is it not najis? All these issues, wiping on a plaster, how many, wounding on the bandages. Who does go to the fields of jihad and doesn't wear bandages after a while? Especially in the days when it's a sword and arrow. Everyone gets cut. In the sword, if you're in the battle, you're going to get cut. You can't walk out without a cut or a wound. Why? Because it's swords. In today's world, in the bullets, you get the bullet, you die, or you get wounded, and that's it, they take you to a hospital. But then you can get a small cut here, a small cut there, and the cut doesn't heal, and start making pus and everything. You see, all of this, you see then the Sharia when it came with so many allowances, because so many problems can come up in the field of traveling in jihad fi sabilillah in the days, yani those days and these days today. Wiping on the boots. Today, he's wearing Nike shoes because he's playing basketball, wiping on the boots. When you see the army boots they wear, comes halfway through your, or even the, yani they call the army boots, the mujahideen and the armies and the Muslim armies wear, where does it go up to? Three quarter up your leg. And it's all, by the time you take it out, you need 40 minutes. True or not, there's all these laces. Honestly, once it's you take out, you need half an hour, then wiping on it. This is where all this came to make allowance. Now when you wear, yani of course you can, but wearing Nike boots and Doc Martin boots and I don't know what, so you can wipe on it. And can I wipe on the boots, Sheikh, after he played basketball? You see the difference between the two? One is got his life on the line and he needs to wipe on his boots, and one he wants to play basketball and he wants to wipe on the boots. Yani the hukum is correct for both, but to show you when the Sharia comes, it comes to people, these allowances, to people who are in a different level than you and me, and a different platform than you and me. The needs and the allowances, they need it 10 times more than you need it. The brother combines the salat on the plane, comfortable and everything, and the drink is to his tailor, to his seat, and sitting, and still complaining. He's going to Hajj, and still complaining. He's still complaining about, my room doesn't have a view, and your room has a view. He's still complaining. Tayyib. Now when they go to Hajj, these companions radiallahu anhum and the generation after that and all the Ta'if al-Mansurah, the Mujahideen fi sabilillah, yet they don't get any of this luxury. Some of them on a horse, some of them walking, and Allahu musta'an. And what? Those the allowances when it comes to them so they can use it. It doesn't mean that if you're traveling you don't use the allowance. Don't miss what I said. Even if you said, as we said previously in the lesson last week, we said even for يقول رحمه الله صلوا رجالا وركبانا إلى القبلة whether they're riding or standing to the قبلة وإلى غيرها and also to other than the قبلة if you needed to other than the قبلة meaning the army the قبلة is behind you and the army is in front of you if you want to pray towards the قبلة I mean you're giving your back to the army and then he's going to hit you no you pray as you are ويومئون بالسجود والركوع that bow for sujood and ركوع that is an allowance وكذلك كل خائف على نفسه يصلي على حسب حاله كل ويفعل كل ما يحتاج إلى فعله من هرب أو غيره likewise anyone who fears for himself may pray as his condition permits and may do what he needs to do in terms of escaping and other acts. Here he said, rahimahullah, that anyone who's fearing for himself, he may pray in any position that he can. And he may do anything that it is necessary for him to escape. Here, of course, it's not only talking about the time of war. And it's not only if you are in a battlefield or the time of war. But if you are in an extreme fear for yourself, and for your safety, you can do whatever you want. Let's just say someone, just an example, stormed your house. Someone stormed your house, thieves, whatever. They stormed your house and you're hiding inside the mezzanine or you're hiding inside the cupboard. You're scared. They stayed there for an hour or 2 hours, 3 hours. They're here. You're fearing. How do you pray? You pray while you're sitting. You pray while you're sitting in the way you are. خائفٌ على نفسك. You're fearing for yourself. Anyone in any situation of fearing for himself, meaning, let's just say, you have a truck full of goods. and got broken down in an area full of highway robbers on the highway. And if you were to leave the truck and make wudu and come back and pray, you're not safe. Somebody could steal the whole goods. So what do you do? Make tayammum. You say, if I'm going to face the Qibla, I won't be able to see the goods and on the truck. So I have to actually sit in the spot that I can always my eyes 24/7 looking at the goods until the tow truck comes or the help comes. We say, in any position that you pray, fearing for your goods doesn't get stolen. Arafat? So it's fearing for yourself or fearing for your wealth doesn't get stolen. You're allowed to pray in any way or any need to pray so you can so you can pray. An escapee also, someone escaping from the camps of the enemies. He's running out in the desert, tayyib. So running. He knows if he was to stop, he might be get caught. Escaping his prisoner of war and escaping the camps of the enemies. What does he do? He pray in any way that he fits. I'd say he's walking fast or running, and he knows they're going to be after him and behind him. So he needs to get out of the perimeter as quick as possible. Tayyib, he left Asr, and now Maghrib going to come, and this is not a joinable salah. We say, while you're running, pray. Tayyib, you say, ya akhi, I'm running and the Qibla behind me. Say, pray even you are away from the Qibla. Tayyib, how do I make wudu? Quickly, while you're running, tap on the floor and make tayammum and pray while you're running. Just don't stop. This is why Sharia gives you an allowance for everything. Sharia, because some brothers, they think, oh man, I've got a strong yaqeen, a strong iman, Allah will blind them. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَخْشَيْنَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And he's then prays within the perimeter, and then he sees the helicopters coming to take him. No, this is not the way. It's not Islam. It's not the Sharia who told you al-akhth bil-asbab. See, al-akhth bil-asbab. You have to take the reason. The Sharia gave you the allowance. When you know the allowance, when you learn, you know that you must take the allowance because your nafs is important for you to protect it. You have to protect your nafs. If the Sharia gave you, if someone, for example, put a gun in your head, the Sharia and he told you to say kufr, the Sharia allowed you to say kufr so you can protect your life. So why wouldn't the Sharia tell you, if you're fearing for yourself, to pray in any way possible? The dalil for these two last issues, which is the extreme fear and that, here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Umar narrated from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, in a hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim, in kana khawfun huwa ashaddu min thalika, sallu rijalan qiyaman ala aqdamihim. It's a fear. If it is a fear more than that, they pray standing on their feet. أو ركبانا مستقبلي القبلة أو غير مستقبليها. Or riding, turning to the Qibla, or they're not turning in the Qibla. And then Nafi', who's Nafi'? The student of Ibn Umar. Ibn Umar has two main students, Nafi' and Salim. We spoke about this before. Which one is his son? Which one is his son? One of them is his freed slave, Mawla. One of them is his Mawla, and the second one is his own son. Salim. Salim is the son of Ibn Umar. Nafi', he said, La ara Abdullah ibn Umar dhakara thalik illa an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I don't see Abdullah ibn Umar mentioning that except that he did that with whom? Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he's very strict on the sunnah, very, very strict. And the ulama, even they won't do not go into the far-fetched or the strictness of Ibn Umar in the issues of sunnah. So Ibn Umar, he used to duck down, and then people would ask him, why did you just duck down? He said, I saw the Prophet ﷺ duck. There was a tree here and there was a branch, and the Prophet ﷺ ducked, so I want to follow his footsteps and duck. But the tree not here, the branch not here. He said, khalas, the Prophet, when he walked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ducked, I ducked. That's how it is. So the ulama said he used to go into extreme in performing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now also it's good mentioning, it is also narrated that if you cannot perform the salat in a proper manner, meaning يعني to do it with your heart and with your limbs. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delayed Salat al-Asr in the day of Khandaq, the trenches, delayed Salat al-Asr till the ghurub, till the sunset. And also the companions in the opening of Tastur, in the time of Umar, they delayed Fajr after the sunrise. What does it mean? It means here, if it is reaches a very يعني, a real extreme, where you would not be able to concentrate 1 second on the Salat. Imagine you're operating a big, for example, you're a pilot. You're a pilot, there is no way fighter, يعني fighter jet. Or you're operating, for example, a rocket launcher from the big, you know, those who Rajima, they launch 20, 30 rockets at the same time. And you're working all the time, filling up and pressing the buttons and everything, you will not even get a chance a second to stop. And you don't have time. Here I said, delay the Salat is no problem. Right? Because it's been narrated, the Prophet ﷺ in Surah Al-Khandaq, in Yawm Al-Khandaq, on the day of the trenches, he delayed Asr towards the Maghrib until يعني, sun started to set. And the Sahaba delayed what? Fajr till sunrise. يقول رحمه الله باب صلاة الجمعة. Chapter of صلاة الجمعة, Friday Congressional Prayer. That is big chapter. هي يقول كل من لزمته الصلاة المكتوبة لزمته صلاة الجمعة إن كان مستوطنا ببناء وبينه وبين الجامع فرسخ فيما دون ذلك. He said here, everyone who is obligated to pray the mandatory prayers is obligated to pray the Jumu'ah if he is a resident in a permanent dwelling and if the distance between him and the masjid is one farsakh, 3 miles or less. Here he said, كُلُّ مَنْ لَزِمَتْهُ الصَّلَاةُ الْمَكْتُوبَةُ لَزِمَتْهُ صَلَاةُ الْجُمُعَةُ. Here he said, everyone who is obligated to pray the mandatory salat, the Jum'ah is obligatory upon them. Here he said, he makes the exception later, so don't worry if you say the woman and not the exception. He said, every man, when you are obligated to pray salat, the 5 daily salat, then you have to pray Jum'ah. And every man who is Muslim, sane, rich, puberty, all of that, you pray. Why? It is an obligation. It's not Salat Jum'ah, it's not Sunnah. It is an obligation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. You who have belief, if it is called for the Salat on the day of Friday, haste to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خلاص. You do the sa'i, لصلاة الجمعة. Also حديث إن رواه إمام مسلم لا ينتهين أقوام عن ودعهم الجمعات أو ليختمن الله على قلوبهم ثم لا يكونن من الغافلين. He said a group of people they, if they do not stop from neglecting the الجمعات صلاة الجمعة يعني Allah سبحانه وتعالى going surely to sin on their hearts and they will be from the heedless ones. This is a threat from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, the hadith is clear, but يوم الجمعة يا إخوة خير يوم طلعت عليه الشمس يوم الجمعة. The best day that the sun, or the best day upon which the sun has risen is جمعة. One of the best days. فيه خلق آدم. On that day, Adam was created. وفيه أدخل الجنة and on that day he entered the Jannah وفيه أخرج منها and on that day he was taken out from the Jannah ولا تقوم الساعة إلا يوم إلا في يوم الجمعة and the hour would not come except on the day of Jumu'ah. So we have to remember this. Of course, ya ikhwa, it is, since he said it's obligatory, make sure that day, if you are a tradesman, you own your own business, you run your own business, you are somehow able to take Friday off, take it off. Why? Because most of the brothers who come for Salat al-Jumu'ah, they leave work and they want to come hasty They come and some people, today I was talking to a brother, subhanAllah al-Azim. I passed by to buy something to eat from him today. He said, oh, assalamu alaikum, brother. He said, first time you come to my shop? I said, yes, I don't know him. He said, oh, mashallah, I know you from here, the Musalla. I hear your khutbah, mashallah, jazakallah khair, brother. I said, do you come regularly to our Musalla here? Yeah. I said, were you there last Friday, which is the Friday I gave the khutbah? He said, no, I wasn't. I said, where were you? Where did you pray? He said, oh, I was busy in the shop. I couldn't leave the shop, you see. So it's important, ya ikhwah. Let the business be on your way, in the way of the hereafter. Yani even if I have to shut down the shop for that hour, I'm not going to go broke. Because if his wife having a baby and she calls him, she said, ya Ahmed, come. I'm having the baby, my water broke. Even if he doesn't have a worker, he wouldn't even lock the, he leaves the shop and run. True or not? Lock it for an hour, so what? What's going to happen? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sustain you with better. And you have to remember that any transaction done on that, from the time that the imam ascends the minbar until the time the Jum'ah finished, any transaction is haram, haram, haram. Even though it is halal by principle, but because it is on the hour of Salat al-Jum'ah, becomes haram. And the ulama spoke whether that is void or not, like marital contract. Is that kind of marital contract on the hour, is it void or it is not void? It has to repeat it or not. We talk about that in the financial transaction if we live long enough to do the financial transaction. That's how far the ulama went. Well, you bought a car on the day of Friday. On the Salat al-Jumu'ah, you didn't go to Salat al-Jumu'ah, you bought a car. Is that contract valid or invalid? Huh? Our ulama spoke about that. Is it like the muhrim who does a marital contract? Because the muhrim cannot get married. If you're in a state of ihram, umrah or hajj, you're not allowed to get married, nor get engaged also, to do a marital contract. If you made the marital contract, the some ulama said, this exactly all that. We'll talk about it when we get to it. He said, so, even if the brother able, and to take the day off, take the day off. Why? So he can come early to Salat al-Jumu'ah, to have the ghusl, and get ready, and get refreshed, and come tranquility. You don't have to run. You don't have to look for a place to park your car. Even you park a little bit far, you come to the masjid, sit down, open the mushaf, read Surah Al-Kahf, have some peace, dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or pray a few rak'at. And after the salat, you don't have to rush, sit down with the brothers. Probably a lot of the times you don't even see those brothers except from one week to another. Yani this is a sila of your brothers. A lot of the brothers that only see each other Friday. If you can not, because some brothers work in the office, make sure you take enough time to go to Salat al-Jum'ah peacefully and come back peacefully. The brothers come in the last 10 minutes. And if the sheikh, they time it. And unfortunately, and I find this amongst some of the Pakistani Indian brothers, they say, what time Salat al-Jum'ah? So, wallahi, here in Global Youth Center, we pray 1:15. They come 1:15, they see me next week, they want to kill me. I said, why? Wallah, they say, why are you upset? I say, brother, you told us 1:15. We come 1:15 and the imam on the minbar. I said, this is when Salat Jumu'ah starts. He says, no, the Salat Jumu'ah. Meaning he's what? When the imam says, Allahu Akbar, that's Salat Jumu'ah for him. Yeah, Habibi, that is a proportion of Salat Jumu'ah. That is not Salat Jumu'ah. Salat Jumu'ah starts when the imam says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Actually, once the imam says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and he sits, no more reward. If you come at that time, you don't offer anything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you don't offer anything. The five offerings are what? The first one is what? Yalla, remind me. Camel? Yeah, do we have wudu in your house or ghusl in your house? And you come, first you have camel. The first sa'ah is camel. The second one, ya bilal? Cow. The second one is the cow. The third hour is sheep. The fourth hour is chicken, rooster, yeah, rooster, ente. The fifth one is what?
An egg.
That's are the 5 hours. Of course, an hour doesn't mean 1 hour. Meaning, Yani when there's people, you come, even if you come 1 hour before and you are the first one, you get the kamal fi sabilillah. Right? That is the awa, yani, intended with it. When the first, you become from the first lot. After that, once the imam ascends the minbar, the angels close the book and they sit listening to the imam. Whoever comes after that, he's dropping the obligation but not getting the reward. Meaning he's not going to be questioned in front of Allah. He could be questioned for neglect, but he's not going to be questioned the salat because he performed it. He came. So when you say when salat al-jum'ah, salat al-jum'ah starts when an imam says, ascends the minbar, the pulpit, and says, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That's when it starts. So I get very upset and annoyed with those brothers. What time salat al-jum'ah? He comes 10 to 2. Sometimes here, in a place like Global here, JOIC, here every week you have a different imam, khatib. Sometimes some khatib, his khutbah is 20 minutes. 10 to 2, you're already out. You get Abu Adnan, he's lucky 45 minutes his khutbah. No less than 45 minutes, don't even try. And if it is 35 minutes khutbah, then you're lucky, something wrong with Abu Adnan today. 45 minutes. طيب, his khutbah, and then 10 minutes salat is 55 minutes. طيب, so, if yani how I don't understand. How are you going to increase your iman? When you get, if you're not going to hear the khutbah, all of it, some people that are coming to listen like you, no lectures like you, nothing. The only information they get in on khutbah al-jum'ah, on salat al-jum'ah. طيب, at least come a little bit early so you can have better iman in your heart. قال الله قال الرسول. What upsets me also is brothers who ascend the minbar who have no talent for the khataba or have no ilm. There is another issue. Yes, another issue. If there is no one, a remote area, like I started khataba, I used to go to a remote musalla where only a few people come and give khutbah. Until I increased, then I started to go places which is get a bigger crowd. You can't, brothers, unfortunately, I know brothers who can't even read Quran. And when you ask them, when you want to give khutbah, they want to give khutbah in some of the biggest masajid in Sydney. You know, after then, amal khair, good. You're after fame. You're after ascending minbars. He gets up on the minbar, inna alhamdulillah. Shu inna alhamdulillah. Where did you get this from? Ya akhi, this is ism, inna alhamdulillah. First thing, a mistake and a disastrous mistake. And then, khutbat al-haja, Allah musta'in, another disaster. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruh. Then he stand, ya ayyuhal ittaku la hakkatu katihi. What? Is that Quran? Is that Quran? What are you reciting? Ya akhi, hadha amana. That apart from that, the disastrous khutbah that he comes up with, he speaks about some of the most critical issues of the ummah, the things which is requires people with ilm and wisdom to talk about. He wants to endeavor and talk about issues of wala and bara and this and that and khilaf al-ummah. Hang on. This requires people with knowledge to talk about. Speak about targhib and tarheeb, the benefits of salat, the benefits of siyam, the benefits of this. A topic that you're able to control. You get a brother, he still can't even know nothing about anything. He wants to talk about terrorism, and he wants to talk about wala and bara, and he wants to talk about masail that the modern ulama are fighting about it. Who are you to talk about this masail? Respect yourself so we can respect you. And when you criticize, they say, ya akhi, he's a beginner, ma'alishi, you have to be patient with beginners. I don't mind. But he has to know that he is a beginner. He has to know that he is a beginner and speak about topics that beginners speak about. Don't get yourself into deep waters and say, wallahi, I'm a beginner. No, speak about a topic you can speak about. And what also, it will get worse, the brothers, they do khutbah course. They want to do khutbah course, yes. And they teach him to ascend the minbar with no paper. Who are you? Who are you to ascend the minbar with not written verses? I've seen most of the professional khutaba, they have some piece of paper in their hand. Either they write ayat or they put points. Doesn't have to be written word by word. Some of the professional khutaba, they do not write word by word, but they, for example, they're going to talk about an issue that requires five ayat. He writes only the five ayat. Or the ahadith. Why he writes them down? Because the ayah itself is a point. And he moves on with his khutbah. Now they say, no. We're going to ascend the mumbar with the paper. People are going to say, we're beginners. Yes, so what? You're not better than the biggest mashayikh in the world who ascend the mumbar with the paper in their hand. Who you better than whom? You want me to mention big names? Otherwise, why this big ulama? There is the collection of Sheikh Saleh bin Ahmed, one of the biggest ulama of Mecca today, from the Salafi da'wah. The Sheikh Saleh bin Ahmed has got a collection of his khutab written. You better than him? You better than A'imat al-Haram? If you are talented, and you have the talent and the ilm, then yes, you're up on the minbar without a paper. But if you're not, and you haven't got the practice, then no. Right? It on the paper and don't feel belittled. And that doesn't mean you lower your standard. Relax, that's amana and you're preserving the amana, the trust that it entrusted in you. Write it on a piece of paper and go up in the minbar. But what happened if you got the forgot the ayah? What happened if you forgot the hadith? Someone who is firm in knowledge, if he forgot an ayah, he can always bring another ayah that has similar meaning and use it as a dalil. Someone who has firm knowledge, he can. If he forgot a hadith, he can bring another hadith that has the same meaning. Because some masail has more than one hadith to it. But in the mashallah ya shatir, you memorize one hadith and one ayah, you come up, you forgot the ayah and the hadith. What happens then? Start making your own stuff. Start making it. You're cooking in your backyard kitchen.
It's happening.
I know it's happening. There is no taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is adhana. And when you speak to a crowd, 600-700 people turn up. And what if something goes wrong? You said the wrong thing. 600-700 going to carry this message. You come on the day of judgment and you're gone. But now I want to give khutbah. We do not discourage the brothers. I would love all the brothers to learn. But if you do it in the frameworks and the etiquettes. Not only giving, mashallah, you're a good speaker. They taught you at university, public speaking. You wrote it properly, and you delivered a khutbah that is like gold. The Zakr Bahar. Come to lead the people in the salah. Ahdina silat al-mustaqeen. You heard it or not? Tell me if I'm lying. Tell me if I'm extreme or exaggerating. Lazina, with the Z.
Dalim.
What a dalim.
Too short.
Not six harakat. Now, ya ustaz, jazakallah khair, ya shaykh, ya allama, ya bahr, ya fahama. You went up on the minbar, you delivered the khutbah. طيب. What about the salat? La. Where is the amana? This is when the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is said, ar-ruwaybida, they speak in umur al-amma. Who's the Ruwaybida? Those guys are the Ruwaybida. Who have no knowledge, nothing, and they speak in the issue that relates to the general public of the Muslims and the general welfare of the Muslims. Yani he come up to talk about political issues or sensitive issues which is to do with the general public of the Muslims. Or haram and halal and this and that and those mashayikh who do this and that. Hang on a minute. Even if we disagree with this mashayikh, but who are you to talk? Because if that sheikh in the crowd asks you a question after the khutbah, or interrupts your khutbah and asks you a question, and you buckle, you destroy the manhaj that you think you represent. Sah? Like one brother, he was asked, when he mentioned something, dalil ma dalil, a sheikh stood up. He has a PhD in Islamic philosophy. He stood up and said to him, if I recite to you a verse from the Bible, you would not know the difference between it and the Quran. In front of the people. You think you are attacking. What do you know before you attack? Now, imagine that. You see,
Ya ikhwa, the amanah. Now, again, we do not discourage the brothers from learning. I know I went out of the topic, but I needed to get it off my chest. طيب. Who do we teach? How? Jazakallah khair, you want to give khutbah? Yes. You go to the Shaykh Abu Ubaidah. You say, Ya Shaykh Abu Ubaidah, I want to recite with you Surah Al-Fatiha, or Surah Al-A'la, and a small surah. Sit down and teach me. He teaches you the tajweed perfectly, 100% firm with it, good. You go to the Shaykh, say, I want to give a khutbah, what do you recommend? The Shaykh sees your level and he directs you to a topic to talk about. Then you write it down, you write that hadith and you say, Shaykh, is this hadith good? Are they authentic? Or if you're good enough to find them in Bukhari and Muslim, good. Or something, a website, a reputable alim, a reputable Shaykh, he has his khutab in English and you trust, then you take it. And you go on the minbar, and not in a place that has so many people. Go to schools, go to small musalla, fill a gap here until you are trained very well how to give the khutbah. And you start to step up. But also, who is this person? Because there are some brothers, because they give you khutbah and they shout and scream on the khutbah, another jahil comes to him and says, MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Shaykh! The word Shaykh rings in his bell and he thinks he's a Shaykh. And then he wants to sit. And then he wants to sit and argue with the ones who have knowledge and wants to, he's hit with his head, khalas. The problem is, I was talking to one big masjid here, in the area here. He rang me up, he said, can you come and give a khutbah to Lubna Ali? Come give a khutbah. I gave khutbah. Then he calls me back next week, he said, can you come and give a khutbah to Lubna Ali? I'm busy, I can't. Ali, do you know someone? Yeah, I know, I have a long list. I tell you, but I'm not confident they are. They will give you a good khutbah, but I'm not confident they are mashayikh or the standard that you want. He said to me, I don't want. Don't give me them. I tell you, you know these brothers. I fear that I give you a name, he gets on the moon, but he makes bad mistakes and everything. I do not want to be responsible for this. He said, this is not the problem. Everyone makes mistakes on the moon. Everyone must love the ayat. Everyone must love the hadith. That's a human nature. But what I fear is when he comes down in the minbar, he gets a big head bigger than the masjid. Yes, he said he comes down from the minbar. I just gave a khutbah in one of the big masajid. That means I am what? Romeo. Romeo, what they call it? Rambo. I am this, I am that. He thinks he's the Ibn Taymiyyah of year 2012. Right. See, this is another disease. And I will say, anyone today with the respected Allama Google, anyone today can download the khutbah of the net and it sounds good. And it sounds good. Copy and paste, bang, bang. Some of them, they copy and paste it as one, actually he's a graduate. He used to give khutbah and everyone thinks it's his work, the khutbah. So I used to come attend his khutbah. I look at the paper still in black, green and red. Because the website itself puts the ayat in red. I know the website. And it puts the hadith in green. And the writing is in what? Black. So I look at him. I knew it. He printed it as it is from there and he comes. No, in Arabic. I'm talking in Arabic. This sheikh in Arabic. He goes, so I know he prints it as it is from the website and he comes and just reads it to the people and everyone thinks, MashaAllah, Allama, yeah, but this nice work. Yani, the problem is, after that they ask him, oh, mashallah, yani, where did you get the khutbah? He says, yeah, me, you, taqillah. Yani, I can tell you who wrote this khutbah, all I have to do is do research and I'll bring you who said the khutbah. Say, akhwa, yani, unfortunately, this is disease in the heart. So, if a brother want to give khutbah, I'm not, I want to repeat the message again, I don't discourage the brothers from giving khutbah. But I want the brother that he wants to give the khutbah, not to aim too high in a sense. Always, aim high that inshallah you become the best khatib. There's no problem. To perfect your art of giving the khutbah, there is no problem. But what I want from the brother, to gradually learn how to give the khutbah, and then give the khutbah. Don't just jump and take a leap that is bigger than you. And think that you, just because you scream so loud, and you speak so loudly, and you can read one ayah or two, then now you are a khatib. because you're trying to fill the place of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't think, as it's been narrated from Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he ascended the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could not speak. He paused, he could not speak, Uthman. And he said, inshallah, the khutbah will come. Aqimus salah.
Allahu Akbar.
He said to him, the khutbah. He couldn't speak. He was so frozen in his place, in a word wouldn't come out from his mouth. He said, inshallah, the khutbah will come to you. And he prayed. Salat al-Jum'ah. He couldn't talk. Why? The fear of the crowd. And his, of course, is not giving khutbah where you can only pick two people who understand Arabic. No, we're talking about all the companions and ulama of the companions sitting around him listening. يعني, sometimes we see a sheikh who we know him is knowledgeable in the crowd, we buckle. We start stammering. How about Uthman speaking to the companions? Now, that يعني, my message to the brothers. Yes, do khutab for with all means. Start at schools, start small places where a few people come before you take the minbar off big places. Prepare properly, be prepared. Prepare your khutbah. Show it to the mashayikh, ring the mashayikh and ask the placement of hadith, the placement of ayat, if it is your own writing. Even if it is not your own writing, wallahi, so many times I will read the khutbah, the ayah is written wrong. You bring it and read it on the mubar wrong, and you think you're reading correct because it's from a reputable website. No, the ayat, bring it, check it, cross check it. Surah Al-A'raf, verse 108, Surah Al-A'raf. Make sure. The hadith, check it. Sometimes the khrij al-hadith is not authentic. يعني, he puts Bukhari and Muslim, but the one who's typing it, he made a mistake. A human error. Then you attribute to Bukhari and Muslim, and the hadith could be da'if. The hadith could be from the weak a hadith, and he's not the khatib who wrote the khutbah. He never intended to use it as the main hadith in the khutbah. He meant it as a support for the point he's making, not as a main dalil. So let's think of that. And inshallah, يعني, I remember when I first gave khutab, I remember when I first gave khutbah, it was the paper shaking and my legs are shaking and the minbar is shaking and everything is shaking. And I couldn't give a khutbah properly. And I kept on using the paper and reading off the paper and speak to the people slowly. I built my confidence. You don't become a khatib overnight. And then I'm still learning. My khutbah this year are better than the khutbah the year before. Are better always. You're still learning. You still always improve on yourself. You think of new ideas. The way I write my khutbah, I think of it a whole week. I don't write anything. I write it 2 hours before I come on a piece of paper. But I think of it all week. And it's in my mind all week. I want to talk about this topic. And then I think, all right, how can I put it in a way that the crowd will accept it? And then I print the image in my mind. I go home 2 hours. I look for the ayat and the hadith that I need to. I write them down. The sayings of the companions, write them down. Keep them with me on the piece of paper. And sometimes things, and this comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you remember things on the minbar that are so important, you missed it throughout the week. Why? This is Allah puts it in your heart because He knows you are feeling the responsibility here, and then you remember it and you say it as you remember it. And that happens 70% of the times. That 3/4 of the khutbah comes on the minbar. And the 30% is what you prepared. This is but when in later stage in giving and delivering khutbah. And you have to have the basis of knowledge, meaning what you're going to say, you already heard it from ulama, and you read it, and you study it, and you experience it, and you know it, but it's gone out of your mind. But it comes at the time when you are talking. And this is because your mind is getting stimulated. And that's why it just comes out back to your memory as it is in front of you, and you say it. But that's, as I said, it's not something for the brothers who are beginning in the art of khatibah. Next week, inshallah, we'll continue the Bab Salat al-Jum'ah, and we'll speak about all the different details of Salat al-Jum'ah. Of course, we're not going to speak about the virtues of Jum'ah, because this is something, inshallah, it is studied in different books, not in specific books of fiqh like this ones. Subhanaka Allah wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have a question, tafadhal.